Gemara Dav Yud Ches and Aleph towards the top. We're going to just take a quick 4 minute explanation of what we got up till now, what the Gemara did yesterday a little bit, so we can kind of get back in the flow. Again, this Gemara really is a separate Gemara, but there is a borrowed part that we take from the last Gemara, which we had seen also the day before as well. The Gemara yesterday we talked about was, we made an assumption. The assumption we made was, if you have two separate psulim that are not the same shear, then it's like apples and oranges, and you can't combine to make them one big mass of
on the schach.
On the schach, exactly. So we discussed beforehand airspace versus bad schach. And with the assumption we made, this was an opinion that we saw in Rabbah beforehand, that since their measurements are very different, then they're not going to combine to create problematic amounts together. If each one individually is not a problematic amount, then you can continue with your sukkah and it should be okay. So Gemara tries this proving that, because it shows you examples of cloths, certain cloths or hides, different types of material that have different shiurim as far as what's considered a beged, or not a beged, an amount of garment that would be a problem that's makabel tumah, such makabel tumah. You have, let's say again, you have cloths, or you have a feathered garment, or mat of reeds, or each one is a different amount that if you sat on it, if a zav was tumah, was an avat tumah, would sit on it, it would make that whole thing tumah, but the amount that's required for each of those materials is a different amount, which means that we would assume it's apples and oranges, and yet we find that they're allowed to combine to create the greater level. Let's say, for example, the case of the begging was the lowest one. We had begging, we had sock. Sock requires, it's like a type of like a feather, a feathery material. So if you have sock that requires 4x4 tefachim to make a tummy, and begging and cloth is 3x3 tefachim, and you only have 3 tefachim of the sock, and one tefach of the cloth, so neither one has enough to make it to be a problem of makabel tumah. But the Gemara says you combine them together to create 4, and just like we had 4 tefachim by the sock is a problem, this also will be a problem if you do 3 of the sock and 1 of the beged. Why? They're different measurements. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good proof. Really, still we'd say you don't combine measurements. Here it's different, because here they actually share one thing in common, which is that they're both used as like a patch-up piece that you can put on a saddle of a donkey, and therefore they all share that tefach by tefach amount. And so they share one amount together, then they share, we would also allow them to create and to contribute to each one in other amounts as well. That was all like filling the gaps. We then went to a whole different discussion. When you remember, we had the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin Aleph, when you called in, spoke of the difference between Rabbanan de Beirav versus Rabbah. The question we had there was, how much schach puzzle ruins a sukkah? We had two options. It was either 4 tefachim or 4 amos. Right? That was the question that we had. 4 tefachim or 4 amos. We had a big discussion. The Gemara then brings in and says, you should know, that was how the Gemara was learned in Surah. In the Hardah, it was the same amounts but different people. We had in the
what does that mean?
In Surah, which is a place that you name of a yeshiva, in a town where yeshivas were found. So in Surah, that town, they learned the Gemara the way we did in Yudayim Aleph, which was that Rav, the base medrash of Rav, held that 4 tefachim is the amount of bad schach that ruins the sukkah in the middle of the sukkah. And Rabbah argued and said, no, everyone agrees 4 amos minatzad. We have the dofen akuma or whatever it is, but 4 amos minatzad ruins the sukkah. But 3 amos minatzad would still be a kosher sukkah if it was on the side. However, according to Rabbah, that same amount that ruins on the side also ruins in the middle. Less than that amount wouldn't be okay even in the middle. So if you had 3 amos in the middle, according to Rabbah, it would still be kosher. According to Rabbanan de Beirav,
that say 3 tefachim.
4 tefachim.
4 tefachim.
Is it 4 tefachim or 4 amos? That was the question we had. So we discussed it over there. We asked Kasha. We gave you answers the last time. And the Gemara now says that was all the way they learned it in Surah, in the city called Surah. But in the city called Naharda, it was a whole different limud. It was the same positions, but different people said each one of them. Now the new opinion is that the 4 tefach pshat, which we had before as Rabbanan de Beirav, is now actually, we say, Shmuel's opinion. And the 4 amos pshat that we had, which we last time said was Rabbah, is now becomes Rav's opinion. Again, it's the same discussion being had, but in Ardah, they decided the people who said it weren't who you thought they were. It wasn't Rav.
That they were Amorim?
Well, they were, in both cases, they're Amorim. But as to who the Amorim were, we had a certain list that we had in Yuzayim Aleph, and now Yuzayim, which was based in Surah. That's how they learned in Surah. But in Ardah, they had the same positions, but different people they ascribed to each position. That was what they had in Ardah. That's how the Gemara has over here. And then the Gemara goes through different cases to kind of ask kashas based on our new reality of who we have as the discussion. Some examples of those things. We had a discussion of what happens if you have, the Gemara tradition brings down, if you have a Nesser that's Rachav Arba Tzvachim, it's kosher. So we said, one second, it's kosher. Why is it kosher? I'm right down in the middle of the Yudzayim and Beis towards the bottom. We're just giving examples of cases that seem to be presented. Yudzayim and Beis. Yeah, Yudzayim and Beis. We're starting Yudzayim and Aleph soon. Right now, Yudzayim and Beis. I'm just going through that part right now. There's the outside more. The Mishnah brings down a case, and the word Tzan is over here, where I'm just kind of just smoothing out some of the cases, where it had a case where you put a board that was four Tzvachim up, and we said it's kosher. So we said, kosher, one second. That worked according to the new position we had of Rav, because Rav requires four Amos. We said a bad Tzvach to become a problem. But how would Shmuel say it? Four Tzvachim, it's already the amount of Psul. Said, Min Atzad, the Dofen Akuma, you have up until four Amos, that's why it's kosher. So therefore, every position works out with that. Yeah.
We're bringing a Mishnah. Why are we bringing a Mishnah?
Because this Mishnah seems to suggest that four Tzvachim is kosher. Four Tzvachim, a bad Tzvach is kosher. That sounds like we had two opinions. Is four tzvachim a bad tzvach kosher?
I mean, we just had an opinion that said you need four amos to not be kosher.
And one that said four tzvachim to not be kosher.
Now we say, you know what? You're crazy.
No, now we quoted a Mishnah. The Mishnah says over here, it sounds like four tzvachim is still kosher. We said, oh, that supports Rav, who says four amos only knocks out, not four tzvachim. How about Shmuel, who says four tzvachim knocks it out? No, four tzvachim is still kosher, we say. Yeah, because that's me not sad. It was kosher because Dofen Akuma. In the middle of the Sukkah, it would still be a problem. So we deflected the proof of the Mishnah. We deflected any sort of proof towards Rav versus Shmuel. Again, the case was four tzvachim, it says, is still kosher. A bad tzvach. Four tzvachim, bad tzvach is kosher. But Shmuel held four tzvachim, bad tzvach is a problem. So how do we make sense of that? Because that's the case that the Mishnah brought down. Four tzvachim is because it's min hatzad. Min hatzad, we know the rules you can have even up to four amos min hatzad. Mitam Dofen Akuma. So that's not a problem anymore. Shmuel has deflected that possession, that proof against him. So now we're back to square one again. When we have four Amos being puzzled, or four Tzvachim being puzzled, and we have not brought any case to prove anyone right or wrong yet.
We're stuck with a machloket of, is it four Amos or four Tzvachim?
And we don't have a position either one which is right yet. Correct. We're doing Chazor right now outside, just so you're missing it. We bring next case now. Next thing we bring down is Shnei Sadinim, or Shnei, really more importantly, that's Shnei Nisarim. We say Shnei Nisarim are not Mitzarif. Two boards put together, not mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says, "I'm reading on Tashma. I'm doing outside. I'm not doing the inside right now. We did everything on the very loud background noise.
Yesterday.
Yeah, this is all yesterday. I'm doing even faster right now, so I can just kind of get catch up right now. I'm doing this outside. Shnei Nisarim, which are again two beams. We said, are, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakam are not mitzvah. According to Rabbi Meir, are mitzvah. Yeah, but that's true. I don't care about that so much. That's mitzvahin." Shnei Nisarim, I care about. Sadim are sheets. Sheets, we know, are puzzle. You can use sheets for schach. Shnei Nisarim is a machlokas. I'm going to ignore, because that's really just as bad schach. Everyone agrees it's bad schach. That's not going to prove anything to anybody at all. Shnei Nisarim, the question is, those are boards. Those are wood material, which is really kosher schach material. We don't know what size it is yet, but we say, Shnei Nisarim is a machlokas. Do you combine two Nisarim to create a problematic amount or not? The Tanakhama of Yehuda says, you do not combine them.
Right.
Mary says you do combine them. So we say, one second. It seems to work according to only one of the two opinions. Meaning, the opinion that we said before within Rav, but for Amos is going to be a position, an amount that's bad. So what does Mitzarfen mean? What does for Amos mean Mitzarfen mean? It means, for Tzvachim means Mitzarfen to for Amos, Minatzad. And if you have enough of these boards lined up, that would be the question that you had. Maybe that should not be allowed. We know that Rav understood, you remember the Gemara back in maybe Yadal and Aleph, that Rav held that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both agree under four tzvachim that it's considered kosher. And the question was over four tzvachim. That's the question if it's kosher or not. So we had an apiyadam and alf. So over here, Rabbi Meir, we understand. Rabbi Meir would say, what does mitzarfen mean? It means, do we take four tzvachim and combine it all together to equal four amos? But if you hold a galishan that says, that's four amos, I'm sorry. If you hold that four amos, what does mitzarfen mean? Mitzarfen means, is that if you combine all these beams together to equal four amos, then we have a problem on our hands. But according to the opinion that Rav we had and Daf Yud Zayin on Aleph, that Rav says four tzvachim is a problem. So what's the case that you're combining? If there's already four tzvachim to each beam, you don't need to combine it. It's already puzzle. And if it's not four tzvachim, then it's kanim ba'alma ninu. It is regular piece of schach. It won't be the problem at all. So we say, what does it mean? Mitzarfen. Again, we had the answer before. We say it again right now. It's mitzarfen for arba amos min atzad to create dofen akuma, which we said before as well. One last case we had, if you remember the last case, which we mentioned already a few days ago as well, the case when you're using beams of erez, of cedar, it's the bottom part of your Yudzayim Beis, and this is part we'll catch up to where we're up to today. You have beams of cedar that have four tzvachim in size. Everyone agrees They're puzzle. If they're not four tefachim in size, then Rabbi Meir says it's still puzzle. Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. Rabbi Meir, however, would agree that if I removed every other beam, if I remove again, it's basically it's if they are sorry. Yeah, Rabbi Meir says remove every other beam. If you even had four tefachim in size, but you removed every other beam and you place in instead kosher schach, so I have now bad beam, good schach, bad beam, good schach. Bad beam, good tzach. Each bad beam is four tzvachim in size. Gemara says, but Meir says, that's fine. That's okay. So we say, 1 second. If you hold four amos is a bad amount, then I understand why it's okay, because you don't have any big four amos pieces. It's only max is four tzvachim, and then you have a break. Four tzvachim, and then a break. So I understand why we would not say it's possible if you hold four amos. So you hold four tzvachim, passes you. Every other beam is four tzvachim. So how come the sukkah is kosher? So we say, it's a sukkah there, that's the minimal size, not minimal size, it's eight amos by eight amos. What does it do for me over here? Eight amos by eight amos. Yeah, who's that?
Ben.
Okay. I'm just running through Ben, just the chazara of the, yesterday, 30 more seconds, I was talking to today's Gemara, top of Daf Yochetz and Aleph. Again, if you have a beam, if you have a beam that's four tzvachim, then you have schach four tzvachim. Beam four tzvachim, schach, beam, schach. And then you have the other side that's starting the same way. Beam, schach, beam, schach, beam, schach. In the middle, what you'll have is you'll have four tefachim eschach next to four tefachim eschach. And that equals altogether eight tefachim eschach. What's the minimum shir basukah? Seven tefachim. So I have now in the middle proper amount of kosher eschach, eight tefachim altogether, and the side leading up to it, I have bad things going on there. Some good, some bad, but altogether not enough bad.
Good bad is what? That's just a dofen akuma?
So until you get to the kosher eschach in the middle, dofen akuma, exactly. And even if you held four tefachim as a problematic amount, how come the sukkah was kosher with lots of four tefachim pieces in the middle, or it was in the sukkah? So he said, I'll tell you why. Because the whole thing was only eight amos altogether, our sukkah. Which means I have each half is four amos and four amos. Which means the dofen akuma will allow you to get up until the schach kosher on each side. Since you have two portions of schach kosher, each one equaling four tefachim in size, we have altogether eight tefachim, which is a good shear of kosher schach. And leading up to that, we have good, bad alternating. We use dofen akuma and makes the entire thing kosher as far as being like a wall, and the two sides of the wall hit the middle, and you have eight tefachim in the middle, that would be kosher. You could only sleep under the kosher eight tefachim in the middle. You couldn't sleep under any of the other parts of the wall, because it's all considered a wall. But that would at least, again, allow the opinion that says four tefachim would ruin the sukkah. It still would make sense in our case that you removed every other one and still had eight to four tefachim of bad stuff, kind of dispersed in the sukkah, because the middle portion of eight tefachim is all kosher schach, and therefore the other part could be ignored. By using dofen akuma, you couldn't sleep underneath it, but it's still considered kosher sukkah. Yeah.
Can you slowly explain what was the purpose of that scenario?
Because we had a case.
We know that the middle eight tefachim is more than seven.
Good.
So we have a 7x7, so we can sleep under there.
Because we had lots of four tefachim beams that are also leading up to that eight tefachim in the middle. And we thought.
What is it that we didn't know that we know now?
So we thought originally four tefachim beams, 1 second, they're dispersed throughout the sukkah. Shouldn't that now create a problem of having non-kosher schach in the middle of your sukkah that equals an amount of four tefachim, which we thought would knock out the entire sukkah? That's what we thought. According to that opinion.
According to what opinion?
The opinion that says four tefachim of bad schach ruins the sukkah. So now we have four tefachim of bad schach, lots of them dispersed in the sukkah.
But I thought that opinion is only if you want to use that as schach. But if you're using that as dope and akuma...
We didn't know that yet. No, you're absolutely correct. We didn't realize that the sukkah size was altogether only eight amos. Which means I could use dofen akuma both sides. For all I know, it could have been 20 amos. Not in height, but in size. Which case, you couldn't do this, because the dofen akuma is not going to connect you. The chiddush was, it's exactly 8 amos of sukkah. Which means now that each side will be able to, it's within 4 amos to the wall, and you have that middle portion together of eight good tzvachim. So I didn't know that before. I didn't realize that you had an exactly 8 amos sukkah, where you now that the bad schach is not considered schach, it's considered part of the wall. Oh, now that I know that, yeah. That would answer the question of how you can have four tefachim beams in the middle of your sukkah and still be kosher, because it doesn't count as part of your sukkah. That's still part of the wall. But I didn't know that beforehand.
We still have the same machloket.
Yep, and that stays to the end.
Four tefachim that makes it a sukkah puzzle, or is it four amos?
Correct. We don't resolve it. Okay. We have each person we brought down, the other person deflected the opinion. We passed it, I'm pretty sure we passed it in four tefachim. That's how we passed it in the end. Okay. Today's Gemara right now, we're up to the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. About 10 lines from the top. I didn't count it, but it's approximately 10 lines from the top. 11. Okay. Amar Abaye. Abaye has the following statement. Of your shlosha besukha gedola, if you have three tefachim, which we know is a problematic amount because you lost lavan, that creates a disconnect within the sukkah. It's in a besukha gedola, umiyatu, and you limit it, you lessen it. How? You have two ways of lessening it. Bein bekanam, either you put kosher schach in part of it, bein bishibud, or put not kosher schach in part of it. But you removed it from being just airspace. Three tefachim of airspace, which I either made only two tefach by adding in an extra tefach of good schach, or even a tefach of bad schach. But I've lessened it from a bad amount of love of separating the sukkah from the sukkah, two parts of the schach, to now a bad amount, but not an entire bad amount of love of problem of airspace. I've taken one of those tefach of airspace and I've made it instead of airspace, I've made it not kosher schach, shipudim, metal bars. So I've eliminated the problem of airspace of three tefachim. Says the Gemara, in a sukkah gdola, that works. Have a mute. That would be considered a good job in limiting and in shrinking the size of the airspace.
With schach pasul.
Kosher pasul, both fine. It works for both of them, however you do it for sukkah gdola. But a sukkah katana, says the Gemara, but sukkah katana, which means I have now only 7x7 tefachim, and I have an airspace of three tefachim.
Within that seven.
So if I use bikanim, if I use proper kosher schach, and to shrink it to two tefachim only of airspace, have a mute. That would be a proper limiting of this airspace.
Well,
using now lavud.
We
have both options. We said it works to add kosher schach. It even works to add metal bars in the big sukkah. Now we're saying if it's a small sukkah, it works to add kosher schach. That still works. But b'shipudim, but adding metal bars in a small sukkah of 7x7 tefachim, lo have a mute. It would not work. Would not work. Now, why not? So Rashi explains. I mean, again, you don't have any amount of anything bad. You don't have enough bad air. You don't have a bad schach. What you also don't have is you don't have enough good schach. It's not an issue of, I said this yesterday, 2 days ago. It's not that you're ruining a sukkah. It's just you don't have a sukkah. You never got the sukkah. In order to be a kosher sukkah, it has to be 7 tefachim halachically in the sukkah. And here, if you have 3 tefachim of bad stuff, then I can't combine the kosher schach to the wall. Because I have too big of a break between the kosher schach and the wall. Lavud is true. Lavud is a din. Lavud is a din that worked by airspace. And therefore, usually I can kind of connect it to the wall. If I can't connect it to the wall, it might not pass the sukkah in theory. But what happens is that I don't have enough kosher schach. Meaning, the bad schach that's with me right now will not ruin my sukkah. I just can't make a sukkah with it. Because I don't have, if I, let's say for example, if I had 6 tefachim of kosher schach and a tefach of airspace or a tefach of bad schach, then I'm fine. Why? Because I have, using lavud, 7 tefachim of kosher schach. I ignore that whatever's there and I'm able to extend it over.
Sleep under the airspace.
Yeah, it's kosher schach. It's like it's there. However, if I have 2 tefachim of airspace and 1 tefach now of bad schach, that I'm not able to move my good schach to the other side, the end of the wall, to create 7 tefachim. It's just a gap.
Because the 1 tefach of bad schach blocks your
Nope. Because 3 tefachim combined of non-schach, of non-good schach, blocks my lavud. 2 airspace and 1 of bad schach.
I thought we said you cannot combine.
I can't.
We just said
I cannot combine to create a shear of psul, but it does create a break in the action. It's not a problem of creating a shame psul of bad schach. It's not because you have too much bad schach. You don't have enough good schach. I can't get, it's not puzzle because I created a significant amount of bad schach. It's not a puzzle. It's puzzle because I can't get from the kosher schach to jump across to the other side of the wall because there's too big of a gap there. I'm not combining them to make a psul. I'm combining to make a distance from my wall to the kosher schach too big where I can't use lavud to get there in the end. That's how the Gemara explains it. You're not combining shiurim. You're not. You're just too distant from the end of the wall. If I had, for example, if I had 3 tefachim of bad schach there, and how much bad schach ruins the sukkah usually? How much bad schach ruins the sukkah? 4. Which still doesn't work. Why? I don't have a kosher
schach.
If I have 4 tefachim of kosher schach, and 3 tefachim of non-kosher schach, and that's all I have in the whole sukkah, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So I don't have enough bad schach to be a problem in theory. You need to have 4 tefachim of bad schach to ruin the sukkah. But we still say it ruins the sukkah. Why? It's not because the bad schach hurt me.
Because you're under the minimum.
I don't have the minimum. I can't get to the wall because I don't have too much space between the wall and my kosher schach. I only use lavan. I don't have lavan. It's separating.
You're saying the three tefachim of bad schach, even if you were to say dofen akuma.
I can't use dofen akuma.
You can't because then all you're left with is four.
Correct. I need to have a shear of a sukkah. Exactly. I don't have a shear of a sukkah anymore. So therefore, it wouldn't be kosher in that case, says the Gemara. So just, it only would work if I limit it with kosher schach.
So just the
four tefachim of good schach, three tefachim of airspace. Not allowed yet. If I add in a single kosher schach reed, then I'm fine. If I add in a single bar of metal, I'm not fine. Why? You're not combining to make a psul. You just can't connect it. You lost the jump. I can't jump to the end of my sukkah because the gap is too wide. That's why I can't jump. It's not a psul. It's not kosher. Again, I can have a kosher things, but I have 20 amos of schach, but something happened in the middle where I ruined my whole sukkah. Here, I didn't have 20 amos. I didn't have enough 7 amos of schach. I didn't have enough schach to go with. So it's not that my sukkah was ruined. It was never called a sukkah. I couldn't get shame sukkah on it because it didn't have 7 tefachim of schach. Yeah.
The minimum size sukkah is 7x7.
Yeah.
And I have 2.9.
Of what?
Schach pasul.
And the rest of it's schach kosher? Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Even if I had airspace, I'd be fine.
2.9 air.
Fine. Yep. Okay.
Air, but if you had 2.9 of non-kosher schach.
Good. Fine.
No.
Fine.
Love it works.
Right, I love it works.
You have 2.9 of non-kosher schach.
Yeah, and
that means all you have left is 4.1 of kosher schach.
No, but yeah.
And you don't have the regulation size sukkah.
But I have lovud.
No, lovud doesn't work for airspace, not through non-kosher schach.
Oh.
Non-kosher schach is less bad than airspace. Less bad.
Wait a minute. From a year and something ago, when we started learning this masakta, I always understood that lavud was you got a beam and it's this distance from. There's always airspace. I never understood that lavud would work when there's
something there.
Bars there blocking it.
I don't know if we ever. I get right. We've never talked about it. Yeah. But what lavud does is it takes wherever the kosher schach stops, and it extends it a certain distance. If there's nothing there, great. If something's there, also it could be extended. It's close, you know. You have like we say close enough, it doesn't count. It's just for horseshoes. This is like horseshoes.
Horseshoes.
It's a game where you throw like a horseshoe at it, like a so close counts in certain cases. By lavud, close counts. If I got really close to the end of the wall, it counts. Something's in the middle. Yeah, but lavud jumps. It can jump three tefachim. We'll see today, right now. Just today, right, a little bit.
Penetrates iron bars.
Doesn't have to penetrate. It's not penetrating it. It's considered like it's already there. Consider it like it's already there.
I like to say bypasses.
Bypasses. It's like it's already there. You can even sleep underneath it. It's like it's there.
Okay, let me just restate. So if I have a sukkah that's exactly 7x7,
yeah,
and I have 2.9 of either airspace or metal bars or anything that's not kosher schach, lavud works.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can I sleep under airspace? I can sleep. Can I sleep under the non-kosher schach?
Yeah, should be. Should be allowed to.
That's also a kiddush. I thought we said before that you cannot
only if it's a certain treif. Only if it's a certain size of treif. For a tefachim, we said you can't sleep under four tefachim of treif. That you can't do because that'd be schach pasul. Even if you want to say in the end that you have a kosher sukkah using dofen akuma, you're sleeping under the wall. It's not sleeping under the schach. We have to use you sleep under the schach. Schach means this whole area is kosher sukkah. Even airspace pieces could be as long as they're not too big of a gap. Now we'll see. Not everyone will agree with that yet, but we'll see in a minute. That might be a question, but for now, that's what we're assuming, and we're going to stick with that for the time being. We're going to discuss lavud a little different way right now, which is lavud works to the corner. Does lavud also work in the middle? What does that mean? If I have schach, kosher, break of a tefach, two tefachim, then schach the rest of the way through, well, that two tefachim, can you also combine not wall to schach, but middle, schach to schach? Look at the Gemara right now, and Tzai is going to discuss that question right now. Says the Gemara.
Sorry, that wasn't a bias case.
No. Bias case was at the wall. Getting to the wall. We'll get to it right now. Why am I saying that?
Where did you see that?
Because the next line says over here, Vani mili min atzad. These words over here, where we're talking about it's kosher, using love what is kosher, that's only when you talk about hitting a wall. Aval be'emtza, but if you had in the middle of the schach, then pligi bar rav ach av ravina.
What line are you on? Sorry.
16 from the top.
Oh, you're up there.
I'm up here.
16 from the top.
16 from the top. But if the case was that it was in the middle of the sukkah, you had a break of a tefach, two tefachim, less than three tefachim, in the middle of the sukkah, That's not so posh. That's a machlokas, a maroyim between Rav Ach and Ravina. Chad amar, usually when you have chad and chad means you don't know who said which, though there are some opinions in the Rishonim who try to tell you who says which, but we'll just keep right now chad and chad. Chad amar, yesh lavod be'emtza. One says, no, you're allowed to, lavod works no matter where you are. It works on the side, it works in the middle. Lavod is a kata within three tvachim. It counts. It's like you're there already. The chad amar, one says, no, lavod only works on the side. Ein lavod be'emtza, we do not apply lavod to things in the middle of your sukkah. It only works by a wall. Well, it works to a wall. It doesn't work to anything that you just want to use it to. You'll see in a minute where they get that from. But that's our opinion we have right now. We thought love it works all the time. I think love it doesn't work all the time. Love it only works in certain cases. That's right now our case that we have. Discuss we have right now. Yeah.
Did we say Leilui Nishmat?
He wrote down the name or no?
Ben. Third. Listen to.
I think you wrote. I think did Mo write that also? Mo wrote in the group.
No, only wrote is my father died. And for also Rivka Bat Pasi.
Who's that?
Rivka Bat Pasi.
Well, that was who's that for? Them?
My friend.
Oh, someone who stopped me to die for them.
No.
Oh, it passed away also.
Yeah, Leilui Nishmat.
Rivka Bat Pasi. Okay.
Last two names were Refuah Shlema, Orli Sipora Bat Shoshana, and Yoshua Heschel Ben Sharza Batja.
Okay. We learn extra strong for them. No. Okay. Ruben Michal. Okay, so let's learn extra. Again, we have to, in order to make it Leilui Nishmat, we have to do something extra. Learn extra strong for the Leilui Nishmat and the Refuah Shlemas. My time with the Bandamar Yeshua Be'emtza. What's the reason why someone would say there is love of Be'emtza? I mean, why would we think it goes not only to a wall, but also to the middle? Because we have a Brisa that seems to support that. That's how we learn a Brisa, Tanya. The case of here is a Mavui. A Mavui that's filled in the Rishus Rabbim. And the way you can fix that issue and allow you to carry within the Mavui is one of two things. Either a Lechi, which we've had in the past already, stick it with one little stick next to the wall. That will provide you the opportunity to carry within the mavoi now. Or you do a korah, you do a horizontal bar beam on top. Now, what happens if that beam doesn't touch the wall that it's reaching out to? Or v'chein shtei koros, you have two beams. Well, we have this. Or you have two beams. That's how thick it's supposed to be, right? How thick it's supposed to be? How strong it's supposed to be? V'chein shtei koros achas yotza mikozel acher. Or you don't have one beam that almost hits the end, but you have two beams, each one coming from the own end, and each one falling short of meeting up in the middle. And this is important. This is important part for our sukkah. This is important part we're bringing down for this. That second case. So pause with shlosh. If they're within three tefachim to each other, you don't have to bring another beam within three of one beam to the wall. Then it's lavud, and even within two beams to each other in the middle, not to a wall, but to the middle, as long as within three tefachim to each other. Once again, we say. There's no need to bring another korah. What does that show us? Yesh lava b'emsa. Correct. So now, how does the other opinion argue with that? So v'idach, the other position, the one who says that it's no b'emsa, doesn't work b'emsa, shani korah is d'rabbanan. The idea that you need a korah in the first place is d'rabbanan. Midah raisa, you're in a mavoi which has three walls closed in. Midah raisa, you can carry that anyways. We put the korah there, or the lechi there, to remind us, or to act as a mechitza, as a fourth wall, midrabanan, that lets us carry in the mavoi. But midaraisa, it's already okay. You don't need that midaraisa. And therefore, says Rashi over here, hey, you know, the lashon Rashi gives over here is? Yeah, but he has a lashon here I wanted to share with you. Okay, that's not it. Here. Hey, masru behem etiru. They said you need to have a korah. And they said, if the Korah be'emsa is within three tefachim, it's also fine. Meaning, the Rabbanan. They, quote-unquote, invented the need to have a Korah. And therefore, they also said, you know what, we'll allow love of be'emsa. In reality, on a deraisa level, love of be'emsa would never work. And therefore, according to this other opinion, either. Therefore, in our sukkah, which is a deraisa obligation, they have to have kosher schach and kosher walls. There we would say it requires you to actually only have a minatah, not be'emsa.
But for deraisa, you don't even need a lechi.
You don't need anything. Anything at all, midaraisa. Well, we demand either a lechi or a korah, the korah has to go across the entire path. So we say, yeah. Well, how about if it doesn't meet? You have two that don't meet in the middle. So we say, yeah, it's fine. Well, it's fine. Oh, you see, there's love with Bemsa. No. It's fine because the Rabbanan made the whole thing up in the first place. The Rabbanan telling you, we're trying to be machmir in general to require a korah. I'm not going to be machmir and say there's no love of Bemsa in that case. Midoraisa, maybe there is no love of Be'emsa, but Midorabanan, they're making a love of Be'emsa. Yeah.
Can you explain the Eid Be'idach again?
Eidach means the other. Again, right now we have a seeming Brisa that seems to be a very strong proof that love of Be'emsa works. Two beams that stick out, almost like, don't touch each other yet, but within three tefachim, it works. Love of Be'emsa works. Eidach means the other position that says love of Be'emsa doesn't normally work, shouldn't work. Then how does he explain this Brisa? He said, I'll tell you how I explain that. Brisa is Derabanan. The whole Korah concept is Derabanan. It's not required Midoraisa. If I have three walls and a mavoi, you can carry the mavoi midoraisa. The Rabbanan requires you to put a korah on top or a lechi on the side.
I already lost you. What do you mean is the Rabbanan?
If I would do nothing, I have three walls, a mavoi, looks like that, and then you have it spills out into the rabbim. I have an alleyway, closed off alleyway, spills out into the rabbim. The rule is, if you didn't do anything at all, I didn't touch anything, I'm allowed to carry within the mavoi midoraisa. The Torah says it's not it's rishus yachid. As far as we're concerned, you can carry within that little area. You're allowed to. The Rabbanan said you can't carry in that area. You're not allowed to. You have to do something more. Because they're afraid. It's too close for Zerabim. We're afraid you might end up spilling out into Zerabim. We're worried about it. We say, do something different. Do something more. Add a Korah. Put a Lechi in there. Something more Rabbanan said you must do. So therefore, be part of that fourth wall. Either to act as a Heker, right, or it's Macholkes. Either a Heker or act as a Mechitza. Whatever it is, it's doing something important for us to let you carry in that wall. And two beams that almost hit each other also count. Why? Oh, must be love of Be'emsa works. It's like there's one beam across the entirety of the whole length of the mavoi. That's why it works. The idach, one of those that love of Be'emsa doesn't work, says, no, that's not why that works. It works because really love of Be'emsa doesn't work normally. Midoraisa. This is a Derabanan. You don't even need anything in theory. The Rabbanans have put it there. So they'll say also, okay, love of Be'emsa works in that case because we don't even need it anyways. But in the Deraisa requirement, you need to put a real... You couldn't have love with Be'emsa, only love with Min Hatzad.
That's applying to Sukkah.
And Sukkah, which is the Raisa, if you had a one tefach break in the middle, or whatever it would be, that would be already considered separation. You can't do love with Min Be'emsa, according to his other opinion. Now, where does he get that from? We understand what he's saying, but why does he say that? I mean, where does he see anywhere in his set of halacha in other cases that love with Be'emsa shouldn't work? So the Gemara says over here, what's the rationale? The one that says no love b'emsa. Now we're in a Mishnah. Aruba shebebayis. Aruba is like a skylight. A skylight in the house. A skylight in the house. Uba posech tefach. And in that skylight, it's a tefach open. A tefach by tefach open. A skylight. Tumah bebayis. Kulo tame. So if tumah is in under the roof of the house, not under that area, but under the roof of the house, and the entirety of that house is tummy, except mashik neged aruba tower. Whatever is right beneath the skylight is kosher, is tower. Again, I have a tummy something somewhere in the middle of the house under proper ceiling, and I have one little shining tefach area of skylight, and under that skylight is a kli. So that single kli is considered in a tower area, and therefore, but everything else in the rest of the home would become tummy. However, and I have the opposite case. What if I had tuma keneged aruba? If I had tumah mamash right underneath the skylight, then call it by his kulo tower, then the whole entire house is tower. Now, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. This is the first Mishnah of the 10th parak of Olos. The Gemara quotes the rest of the Mishnah, which sounds very similar to the first one we read already. And we'll see in the Mishnah, we're not going to see it inside, but the Mishnah over there in Olos says Rashi has a few differences between. Well, let me read the next part before I get to this confusing discussion. Ein ba ruba poseach tefach. If the ruba is not a tefach in size, it's less than a tefach. What's a lacha? Same lacha. Tumah babayis. If you have tumah in the home under a roof, can I get aruba tower? And you still have a kli that's underneath the aruba, that kli is tower. Tumah can I get aruba? If you have tumah right underneath the skylight, less than the tefach, but it's still under the skylight, call it by its kulo tower. The whole house is tower. Now, if you read these two things closely, you'll see the same halacha. It's not different at all. So why is it mentioned like as if there's a difference? So the mission is the first mission, the second mission, the 10th parak of Olos. You look it up there. There are some things that are different. It's not one of them. But one example will be if I put my foot on the skylight, what would that do? Would that keep everything in there? Or if half of the tumah was under and half was not under the skylight, what would happen? There are differences in these cases, but ours is not a difference. And as far as we're concerned, whether it's less tefach or tefach, it's the same halacha. But what you see over here is the following thing, that if you have a tefach of airspace, you have two parts of the wall, in the middle of the ceiling,
less than three
tefachim, it does not connect. We don't say lavud. Hey, lavud b'emsa. It's not sealed. Usually we say, what does love mean? We look at it as if it's touching the other part to it. We don't say that over here. It's not touching the other part of here. And therefore, Ein Lava Be'emsa, we say right now, this should be a support of that concept of Ein Lava Be'emsa, and that's why there's a position that says Ein Lava Be'emsa. So that the Gemara responds as follows, and we'll end with this point, and then we'll stop and we'll do Chazara. Says the Gemara, Ve'idach, and the other opinion says, no, Shani, Hilchos Tumah, the Achi Gemirlu. Hilchos Tumah are different. Why? Because they're Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. What does that mean? So Rashi explains what that means. So when you have a unique halacha in the world of Tumah and Tahara, certainly, but in many areas, you can't stam apply concepts that are very different from each other. Tumah and Sukkah, and Tumah and Tahara versus what's considered a halachic wall, are night and day. And therefore, to try and to apply a rule of, and again, if you can ask some questions, really, if you think about it, by the case of the lechi, right? By the case of the two korahs. But Rashi here points out that Tumah, in general, the concept of Tumah is a concept we don't really understand. The rules of it are all Halakha Moshe Sinai rules. The entirety of Tumah and Tahara, Halakha Moshe Sinai. Don't ever take Tumah and Tahara rules and try to think to apply it outside to other areas using Halakha Moshe Sinai principles in one and applying it to the other one. And therefore, it's true, there is no love of Emsa in the case of the skylight in the roof by Tumah and Tahara. But don't think, says the other opinion, Idach, the one who argues that there is Tumah and Emsa, don't think that that should apply to anything else outside of the rules of Tumah and Tahara. Keep it by Tumah and Tahara, and then you can talk about the rules of love of Emsa. Stop over here. Hopefully that was clear to Ben.